Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Andre, you know, we bought 12 cars this year.
That is crazy.
That is way too many cars. We shouldn't be buying 12 cars. But in this video slash podcast, if you're watching it on YouTube or you're listening to it on one of your favorite podcast platforms, we're going to be talking about the 12 cars that we bought and what we love and hate about them, because this is a mixed bag. This is everything from new to old to classic. So we're going to be kind of skipping around. I didn't put them in any particular order. But we will.
It's going to be unpredictable.
Yeah, it's unpredictable. Bam. We will put in that order at the end to kind of tell you our favorites. If you're wondering where Tommy is.
Where's Tommy?
Tommy is on a plane flying to Detroit to drive a bunch of classic Volkswagens.
And also new ones, I think.
Both.
Both new and old.
So once again, we've got the most excellent Andre here substituting for
Thanks.
Tommy. And speaking of Andre, there's also another podcast that both him and Tommy are on. We should probably do a quick promo for that before we start. I'm talking, of course, about TFL Talking Trucks.
Yes. So TFL Talking Trucks is a podcast is turning 300 episodes this week.
And we've got a special guest.
Special guest. So stay tuned. This is going to happen Friday. This Friday in October. We're going to do a special 300th episode for TFL Talking Trucks.
Could it be Mr. Truck?
You'll have to wait and see.
I'm thinking it's Mr. Truck. And then Tommy's, of course, on Carish as well. So if you like things that are car adjacent, it's the whole team having fun with cars. So check that out. And of course, I have to thank our I hate this. We were just talking about this. Why do they call it Patreon? Are you guys patrons? Are you supporters? Are you just really cool people that love cool car stuff?
They're very cool people, especially Ted, because Ted is also on our live show on patreon.com/TFLcar. Thank you, Ted, for your support. And also, so you could interact with us during these shows as well.
Yeah. You get this first. You get to ask us questions. So if you have any questions for us, we will answer them.
You can give us comments.
And if you want to help support this, because YouTube revenue is just in the toilet right now, where should they head to?
Patreon.com/TFLcar. That's our only location on Patreon.com.
We've grown the supporters about 20 or 30 new people in the last month or so. So welcome. If you're new, really thank you. Let us know if there's anything else we can do for you. Maybe we should do what the other podcasters are doing and do like a limited TFL watch.
Maybe.
No, I don't think so.
Glasses? Limited glasses?
T-shirts?
Hitches?
Hitches. There you
way
go.
Save hitches. Way save. Limited hitches.
We'll do TFL hitches.
I love that.
Yes. And we'll make them in TFL colors. So you know you're a TFL supporter if you have a red hitch.
Yes.
All right. That's more trucky, but let's get back to cars. So number one on my list, we recently bought this actually, and that is the Ford Bronco Everglades.
Yeah. When you guys went shopping for it,
We didn't go shopping for it.
It just kind of appeared.
It just turned up. This was not a car we were looking for. We had actually purchased the very first Bronco. You remember? It was the
first edition,
which had all the bells and whistles. And so we bought that. And I got to tell you, Andre, I didn't love that car that much. I thought it was expensive back then. Now it seems cheap. But back then, I think it was
like $63,000 back then.
Yeah,
right?
I thought it was expensive. We had this kind of like octane orange. I don't know what it was called. It was like this weird combination.
I think it was like cyber orange.
Yeah. It was more yellow than orange. I didn't love the color. Then because it was the first edition, we had a problem with our roof. It sounded like there were little miners, kind of little
gerbils.
No, miners like working the rocks in the roof, like tick 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 tick, and then of course Ford had to send us a new roof.
Yeah,
which they did. So thank you. So that was kind of annoying, and because it was the first edition, and because it was so special, I kind of felt bad taking it off road.
But we did.
We did. But I felt bad about it. I worried about it, and I'd never like worrying about vehicles. Especially when, you know, you're off-roading them.
But then we were at our local Ford dealership, BrightonFord.com.
Before you get to that, can I do a shout-out? We just put up a video today where one of the cars that we bought... Actually, I don't think I put
it's
that on...
It's not on this list.
Oh, my God. It's okay. So that's not 12, 13 cars. All right, we'll get to that. I forgot about that. The Fiat 124.
Is it the Baker's Dozen? 13?
Spider 2000.
Baker's Dozen?
If you want to see that video, head on over to AllTFL and we'll get to that one last. But that is, well, I'm gonna give away the ending here, dude. That's my favorite car that we bought this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I'll tell you why, or if you want to know why, watch the video. But let's go back to the Bronco. So we were at Brighton Ford.
Brighton Ford, Colorado.
We were buying a truck.
Something else.
And this Everglades just happened to kind of fall. Yeah. Sometimes cars just fall in your lap.
Like the Fiat.
Like the Fiat. Yeah. Well, that one didn't fall in our lap. That one we bought on purpose. But this one was just there. And Tommy had gone on the program for the Everglades. Now, you want to tell them what the Everglades is, why it's special?
It's now discontinued, so it's even more special.
It was discontinued when we bought it.
Yeah, so it's a special trim. Really, Everglades refers to, it does have this raised air intake or a snorkel on the passenger side of it. And basically, it's a really off-roady version of the Bronco.
They also did more than that. They like
full-size Bronco.
They moved the alternator up on the engine?
Yes, I wasn't done yet.
Oh, I apologize.
Keep going. So it's got 35s, it's got locking differentials, and they increased the fording depth, like Roman is saying. So it's not just about the air, it's also about the electrical components and several other components on this vehicle. So, and it also in this, I think it's called the Eruption Green.
Yep.
And it was discontinued. I guess it wasn't a very popular trim.
Yeah, so this car, our dealer had bought from another dealer because it was sitting on his lot for like a year.
And it's a 2024 model.
Yeah, and so he gave us a bit of a discount on it. Not a lot. It was like 50. I think the MSRP was like 56, and we got it for like 54. He gave us a couple grand off of it. He had actually been driving it, and Tommy just fell in love with this car when he first took it up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Yeah, that's where the event was.
Yeah,
yes.
And they took it into some pretty deep and muddy water, and he fell in love with it. And so I felt we should buy it because... You know, we specialize in off-roaders. I don't think we gave the first Bronco much of a chance, the first edition, before we sold it. We don't usually keep them that long. And this was one that Tommy loved, so I thought, well, let's give it a shot. And it's one of those vehicles that kind of has everything you need and nothing you don't. So the one thing it is missing is the disconnectable sway bar. But everything else, like you said, it's got the Sasquatch package, so it's got
the
35s.
With the locking differentials and 35s.
And perhaps the reason it didn't sell... I would say this is up Red Coal. This is up the Rock Garden in Red Coal that you're watching right now. That's a very difficult trail, especially that part. The one thing that I think kept it from being sold is it only had the four-cylinder.
Yeah, which is a 2.3 liter. So there's no V6 option for this particular trim. And it also comes with a winch, we have to say. So there is a winch that kind of juts out in the front. And it is a very capable recovery vehicle as well. But... That four-cylinder is actually a very good engine.
Yeah, I don't...
Would you agree?
I don't miss a six-cylinder.
Yeah.
There's never been a time where I thought to myself, gosh, I wish I had the six-cylinder. The four-cylinder is plenty torquey, especially for off-roading. You don't need a lot of...
Very spunky.
You don't need a lot of horsepower. It gets, you know, decent fuel economy. And it actually makes the vehicle lighter because it's got two less cylinders. So in some ways, it's a little bit more nimble. The other thing I love about it, there's two colors that are red hot right now. In the car world, new car world, right? And you don't see them too often because in America, unfortunately, dealers order the cars because they buy the cars. So we're actually not buying them from Ford. We're buying them from the dealer. And dealers are very, let's say, conservative. Mm-hmm. And so they always get black, white,
silver.
Gray, silver. That's it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you get something else, then it makes it special. And so Eruption Green, like you said, that dark green color is red hot. And the other color that's hot is... Well, I can show you. Here, I'll show you. You guys won't see it if you're listening to this, but what am I holding up?
You're holding a brand new iPhone 17 Pro.
And what color is it?
It's an orange.
Yeah. Orange is obviously the...
The new black.
The new black, yeah.
No, orange is a popular color.
By the way, it's a TV show.
This program is not brought to you by iPhone.
No, it's not.
No.
I'm going to do a little bit. I'm going to jump into the rant business. So I upgrade my phone every other generation.
Yes.
Not because I have to, but because we use the phone so much that like my old 15, by noon, my battery was dead. By noon, Andre. And I don't get up at like 2. So, you know, like it had like 6 hours of use. Yeah. And that's how much we're using it. And so by that point, you got to plug it in or charge it up, and it gets to be a pain, especially if you're on a program. So because of that, and I also, the other part of my rant is you go and look at the battery, and it says it's 90%. Now, when I bought that 15, I had 2 days of use out of it, 2 full days. And now with the battery at 90%, according to Apple, I only get like 7 hours. That seems like 25%.
You know what happens? And what? I don't know if this is true, but when a new iPhone comes out, somebody at Apple goes, kill all the batteries on every phone.
I think you're right.
And they really go after your batteries.
I think it's called the software update.
And then they kill every battery.
Yeah, the new iOS just... And so last time I upgraded, I went to Apple and I traded my phone in.
Yes.
And then I got the new phone. The 15. I went from a 13 to a 15.
Yes.
And they could not switch the eSIM. So they gave me the phone, but they gave it to me, and they took the old phone, and I didn't have a phone because the eSIM wouldn't work. So then I'm like, okay, I'll just go to Verizon and have them do it, except it was just when the new phone came out, and there were 300 million students, because this is CU there, all getting new phone, and so they couldn't even help me. So they said, well, if you want, you can make an appointment for like 2 days from now. I'm like, I can't have not... I mean, you know,
this is your work, your business.
This is my life. Yeah. So it only works when it's online. Otherwise, it doesn't work because it has no internet connectivity. What I mean online is like if it has Wi-Fi. Otherwise, it wasn't working. So I kindly figured out if I went to Longmont, which also has a Verizon store, there's no University of Colorado there, and then they did it for me. But it was a huge pain. So this time I was like, you know what? I'm going to not do it this. I learned my lesson. I'm going to go to Verizon. So I went to Verizon.
Straight up.
And they said, great. What we'll do is we'll give you, I think Apple would give me like $420 for the phone. And Verizon was like $390. They were less or something, like $350. But with Verizon, they lock you into a three-year deal.
So are you now locked back in?
So the new one was $1,100.
Yes.
And the guy said, you're going to have to only pay the difference, which is $100, and we'll amortize that difference over 3 years. So it comes out to like $2. I'm like, great, let's do that. So usually this whole transaction takes forever, but they gave me the new phone, and they said, you have 30 days to bring the old phone back. So I go home, and actually it's pretty seamless when you transfer the phone. You just hold them next to each other, and Apple's got that worked out.
And they talk to each other?
They talk to each other. So like 2 hours later, I had my new phone. The SIM was working. The eSIM was working. So I go back to Verizon to return my old phone, which I had signed up for a new contract for, which was going to be $2 more a month. And I look at my contract, and all of a sudden, it's $25 more a month.
Oof.
And I'm like, what the hell? What happened, right? And the guy looks at me and he says, oh, we don't have you here for trading in a phone. And I was like, I was just here. It was yesterday. Your man said, no problem. He signed me up for the new program. And then, like, they basically didn't.
Forgot about it.
Yeah, they didn't put it in there. And then, like, you know, 48 hours ensued where they were trying to figure out, like, what promotion they had. And, you know, whenever there's a new promotion, it's never promotional. It's always good for them. It's never good for you. It's never good for me. And it's so convoluted and it's so non-transparent that you can't figure out. But, you know, but I was looking at it, it was like, oh, minus 40. So, like they said, I traded it, and they were like, finally, minus $40 a month, which apparently was what they were like trading it in. And then I look at my bill, and it had gone up. How does that work? How does it say minus $40 a month? And then you look at the promotion, and it's like it was like $5 more a month. I just got tired of arguing with them. They just wore me out, Andre. They just literally wore me out. I gave up.
That could be the new business model.
Yeah. Just you know, convoluted. If you ever go on the Verizon app, good luck, because it's indecipherable. And I bet you that's on purpose. So the last thing I'm going to say as part of this rant is I think Apple should just do the service. I think that they should do a deal with SpaceX, where forget the landline stuff, just go right with the satellite stuff and cut Verizon completely out of it, because I've used AT&T, I've used Verizon in my life, I've used T-Mobile, and they all suck ass.
Wow, you heard it here first.
They just do. They just do. They are There's no competition, apparently. They all, in my opinion, I better say that before I get sued, they all collude somehow. They make the process impossible. They make it as unuser-friendly as possible. And I don't know why a company like Apple, which for the most part tries to make things easy, like I said, switching over the phones was very painless. They make this whole process so not transparent, so painful, so ugly that you just don't want to deal with them.
It gets worse, though. Since you want to make this about iPhones, let me tell you my story.
Okay.
I switched my last phone, not this year, but last year. And I went to a store that had Verizon on top of it. And I was kind of not treated super great. So I called Verizon after my experience
there. I'm sure that solved it.
And they said, this is not our store. they said, no, this is true. They said there's stores out there that are like franchise that buy the rights to show Verizon logo on the top of it, but it's not operated by Verizon. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I believe. You know what? We'll get back to the cars in a second. I have one conclusion here, okay? And this is the thing I missed the most since COVID. What happened to people who are good at their jobs? It's so rare to find somebody now who like is
they exist, just, but it's hard to find them.
You know, for the most part, the people you run into are just starting or have no clue what they're doing.
Or don't care, maybe.
Or don't care what they're doing. Once upon a time, I will pay more money if I could find somebody who is actually competent at what they do and shows me that from the first minute I interact with them.
But you know who was like that? A new friend, Charlie, who was here last week.
Yeah.
You know, the tow truck owner from Texas.
Yeah, I felt like he knew exactly.
Yeah, he knew. He was passionate about his job. He was a business owner. He was really into it.
David's like that, too.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just an old curmudgeon-y, you know, Roman speaking. But like I said, I went to the Verizon store. The guy took all my information, made me sign 15 things. And then I go back the next day and they're like, you're trading in a phone? I'm like, yeah. Like completely like it never happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like it just never happened. All right. So let's finish with the Bronco. I like it, Andre. I have to say I like the Bronco a lot. I think, you know, as a Jeep guy, I hate to say that because I love Jeeps as well. But if you were to ask me, you know, which one I would rather take on a road trip, it would definitely be the Bronco just because I think what's happened with Jeep is that they had
the world to themselves
for too long. It took them too long to upgrade. And I'm talking about the Wrangler now. It took them too long, right? The JL, it's like 7 years old now. And when they did update it, they put a new grille on it and a new internal
screen.
That was it. And then Bronco came along and basically made a comfortable off-roader that, you know, solved. I bet you what they did was they like benchmarked all the stuff that the Wrangler does wrong and they fixed it. I just went down the, you know, they said, okay, the seat is too upright and too close to the steering wheel. Let's make it electric
check, okay?
You know, the suspension, and this is going to be, I don't want to get into a big solid axle versus independent suspension argument, but the suspension is good off-road, but it's not good on-road. Check, we'll fix that. The steering is vague on road. It's hard to keep in your
check.
Lane. Check.
The mirrors go away with your door when you remove the door. How about we put the mirrors onto the hood?
Exactly.
Check.
Check. And then it's also very tight inside the Wrangler, at least for big people. So let's make the Bronco much bigger. Check. And then, you know, the Wrangler has all these special editions. But the problem with it is a lot of them are more appearance package than actual, like, you know,
mechanical
stuff. And so Bronco came out with all these different, the Badlands, you know, the Big Bend, the Sasquatch, where basically Jeep then had to go and come up with the, like, Extreme Recon, right, with the 35s.
Yeah.
And why didn't Jeep come with 35s to the factory? Why did it take the Bronco to come out with 35s?
Because they were by themselves.
Yeah, because they were following and not leading. And
yeah.
So I'm hoping, Jeep, that this puts a bee in your bonnet. Because I want to buy the next Wrangler, but you guys have got to step up your game. And I'm sorry, but I don't think the 4xe is what people are looking for in this world. I think people would rather have more comfort and more creature comforts than
an
electrified
lose,
Wrangler.
But don't lose the jeepiness of it also.
Yeah, of course. They know that.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
let's move on because this show could be 3 hours long if we're 13 vehicles in.
Let's jump to the next one, which we just bought, and that is the first gen Viper. Now, there are five generations of Viper, Andre, but really three.
Okay.
Really three. Here we have the Viper racing its natural competitor in the wild. We'll talk about this in a second, the C4 ZR1 Corvette. You have really taken to the Viper. Tell me why.
So I'm a child of the 90s. Yeah. I was in high school in the early 90s to mid 90s. And then I was, and this is when the Viper was first introduced. The Viper RT10 that you purchased for the company for our fleet is a 1994. This was, I was in high school then, and I remember I had a picture of it on my wall. You know, I also had a Countach on my wall. It was a Countach, and then there was a Viper. So it, I just had like kind of an affinity to it. And when you brought it to the studio, I was just smitten immediately. It's kind of a unique vehicle you don't see every day, right? There's not a lot of them out there. It's a V10 engine, 8 liters of displacement. And it also is known as a Widowmaker. So it has this mystique about it, right?
Yeah, because back then what they wanted to do was create a Ford Cobra competitor. So that was...
Or the successor to the original Ford Cobra, right?
Right. So that was Lee Iacocca. No, it wasn't Lee Iacocca. It was, what's his name?
There was Carroll Shelby and Bob Lutz.
Bob Lutz, yes. Yeah.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
So they wanted to create something that was the modern version of...
And look at that. There was a TV show about Viper called The Viper. It was amazing. It would morph from one Viper to another.
Yes.
Look at that.
So the first generation, which is the one we have, is the least expensive of them all. It's also the least refined. So we have no windows. No built-in windows. We have windows, but they go into little slots.
Yeah.
We have no top. Of course, we have a little, like, we have actually a soft top and a hard top.
But you have, it's separate. You have to put it on.
You have to put it on. So it's the most uncomfortable. It's the most...
Raw.
Raw of them all. Obviously, side pipes.
Side pipes that burn your leg if you touch it.
They can burn your leg if you touch it. And, of course, the piece de resistance, which... Tommy's about to get into, if you're watching this on YouTube, is what's under the hood, which is this fabulous Lamborghini engineered. People think this is a truck engine. It's not. At that time, Chrysler owned both Dodge and Lamborghini, and they didn't have a lot of experience in building all aluminum engines, so they went to Lamborghini and said, hey, can we get you guys to build us this very advanced, you know, dual overhead cam engine? And Lamborghini said, no problem. And then Dodge ran out of money, and so they built a basic 10-cylinder.
But it's aluminum.
It's aluminum, yeah. And then eventually a steel version of that went into a truck, and people keep putting the horse before the cart, and they think it was a truck engine that became a car engine. It was a car engine that became a truck engine. And the beauty of that engine is, since they didn't really, you know, engineer a lot of tech into it, is that they're pretty bulletproof.
Exactly. And the reason why it's known as a Widowmaker, as I mentioned, is because there is no computer controls of anything.
Nope.
There's no airbags. There's no traction control. There's no stability control.
No automatic transmission.
There is no... does have air conditioning.
It does. We fixed it.
Yes. Air conditioning now works. Yes. But it has none of the other computer aids.
So I did three things to it because I love this vehicle so much because it deserves it. I think this is a classic American car. That is, you know, this is as American as Apple Pie.
I think it might get more valuable, actually.
We'll talk about that in a sec. But let me do the three things, and I'll tell you what I think about it. So it had the wrong wheels. It had these horrible chrome wheels from the second generation. So I found the original set of wheels from a guy who had 8 Vipers. Out of the box, Mopar out of the box.
Brand new original wheels for the first gen. That was amazing.
So these are the old wheels.
Yes.
Those are the ones from the second gen.
We need another video call because we need to see
the three spokes
throwing star wheels.
And so I was also bummed out because when I bought it, the car had one of those like Pioneer modern radios, you know, with the display that's horrible. And then as I was buying it from a retired police officer in Denver, he said, oh, I've got a box of stuff that came with it. And I look in the box and the original radio was there.
Yeah. And you put it back in.
So I put the original radio back in just because you need to. Here we are putting on the correct wheels. And that was an $800 process to put a shitty radio in there. Isn't that funny how that works? And then, of course... We talked to our friends at Michelin, and they were able to get us brand new old tires, right? The tires that would have been on this car. So thank you for
because it's initial. A very unique size.
It's a 235 17 and a
17.
No,
it's a 335.
335 and a 17.
It's really wide. It's a steamroller tire.
Yeah. So thank you, Michelin, for actually doing that. Those are the, by the way, we're selling those wheels. So if you want those chrome wheels for your second generation, we're asking $2,500.
Well, now you call them crappy, so nobody will buy
them. Well, they're crappy because they don't belong in this car. I mean, if I had the second gen and those...
You would put them on.
Those were the OEM wheels, I'd want them because OEM is always going to be what you want, right? You want, especially in classic cars. And then the owner actually also had those center hubcaps, so he threw in those.
Mm-hmm.
And then had them shipped all the way from Arizona, so we put those on. And then once we got the radio working, the speakers were busted, so we replaced the speakers. And then finally, the air conditioning stopped working, not that it really matters in this car, but we had that fixed. So we bought the car for $40,000, and we're probably about 45 into it, maybe.
Yeah, you spent some money on it.
Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I was just watching one of those videos that Doug does, and he was talking about the fact that he doesn't think that Vipers will appreciate. I think this car, since we bought it, has actually gone up in price. I actually think that Vipers are appreciating, and I disagree with Doug. I think I could sell this car. Maybe I bought it well, but I think I could sell this car with the hardtop, which is a $5,000 option if you were to buy it separately, if you could find one. I think we could sell this car today for $50,000.
Yes, and I'll be first in line. Wait.
Okay. My cousin, Tommy's cousin also wants it, so there's people already lining up for it.
Well, there'll be a competition.
Okay, so why do you like it so much? What is it about the car? It's also manual.
Okay, so let me explain just really briefly because we have more vehicles to talk about. We've done some drag races, right? And I was fortunate enough because you invited me to some of these drag races.
And by the way, if this is a two-parter, it's okay. So if we have to go next week and finish, we can do that. Keep going. But I really want to know why you like it so much.
So first of all, let's put aside that it was on my wall when I was a kid.
Okay.
Let's put that aside.
It's aside.
Sometimes when you meet your heroes, mm-hmm. you get disappointed. But this car did not do that. It lived up to everything that I was kind of expecting. I was expecting kind of a raw, difficult car to drive. And it can be difficult, right? It has its own, it has a very light flywheel, right? So sometimes it can be jerky in the first gear or second gear.
It doesn't like stoplights.
It wants to drive.
It wants to go.
Yeah. And it's also, speed is very deceiving. You could be going 60 miles an hour, and you're like, why am I moving so slowly? And then you look down at the speedometer, and it's in fact 60 miles an hour. And then drag racing it, when you get that shift right, and you know, and you go fast, it just, the sound it makes, the open top, I just feel alive in that car.
Yeah, I think you put your finger on it. You feel like you're actually driving a car. And today's, we were just doing a video for TFL Now where we're talking about how cars have become software-defined. This is the exact opposite.
This is the hardware-defined car.
There is no software that defines this car whatsoever. Yeah. It is raw. It is real. It is fun.
And it actually lasted really well.
Yeah. There's nothing you can really point to on these cars that are consistently fail. Now, we buy a lot of classic cars, and obviously people have figured out what, you know, fails on these things. There's nothing that really fails on Vipers, at least nothing substantial.
Yeah, and we've beat it hard. I mean, we drag raced it several times,
and it's
just working.
I'm not sure the air conditioning does much because the car is so hot to begin with. It's just there.
Yeah, it's a good thing you did it, but I don't think I've used it.
And the rub on the car, the interior is horrible. It is.
Oh, my God.
But the exterior is gorgeous. I mean, that Coke bottle shape, you know, the kind of the big air inlets, the Yeah, the squinty, snake-like eyes.
Yes.
It just doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, it's a really special car.
Now, its natural competitor, let's call it the Mongoose, to the Snake.
Yes.
At that time,
yes.
Would have been the Corvette C4, fourth generation.
Yeah.
ZR1.
Yes.
Now, this was a moonshot by Chevy. In fact, there has been no Chevy Corvette with an overhead cam engine until the Z06 came out a few years ago. So, since the 90s, right, I think ours is a 91, I want to say. It's 91.
Yeah.
There has been no advanced version of that car, at least not engineering-wise, since our car came out. So you want to tell them what the ZR1 C4 is and what makes it special? Because it doesn't look any different from a run-of-the-mill C4.
Yeah, so I knew you guys were searching for one, and you guys found it online. And then I really appreciate, in general terms, the C4 style.
Yeah.
But like you said, a ZR1 is this high-end version of that generation of the car. But it has minute differences. Maybe the wheel design.
So this isn't ours, by the way.
This is ours.
Is it?
What are you talking about?
I thought this was this is ours? We don't. Isn't this the one that belongs to Jordan? Yeah, that's Jordan's.
Okay, well, that's not ours. We were looking at Viper versus Corvette. Why are you interrupting me again?
Because we went to the wrong car. We went to Jordan's car.
Look at this.
That's our car.
Can you freeze that frame in the rear of the car? At the top of the car, do you see that middle on top of the glass of the rear? There's a little brake light. That's almost the only visual cue other than a small badge on the trunk that defines it as a ZR1, but it's really about the engine.
There is one more. It's next to the license plate.
What is it?
The two black stripes next to the license plate. Because the car is 3 inches wider than a traditional
Chevy?
Yeah.
Chevy?
Than a traditional C4. So it's wider, but it doesn't look any wider unless you know
what you're looking at.
You don't know.
Exactly.
And so they didn't make it. That was the biggest problem with it. They didn't make it special. But what is special, of course, is
the engine.
It's what's under the hood. Yeah. Maybe you can get a shot of under the hood. So this is a super advanced engine that was actually engineered by Lotus. People think it's Mercury Marine, but it's not.
So we have a Viper with a Lamborghini engine, and we have a Corvette with a Lotus engine.
With a Lotus-engineered engine. And because Chevy was looking around for some place or someone to build it that had experience with aluminum, which they didn't have again, they went to Mercury Marine. So this engine is unique because it has a key that you put into it, so you can get either like a low horsepower mode, which I think is 280, or if you turn the key, kind of like the red key in the latest Demon, you get
all the power.
You get all the power, so
which is 375,
yeah,
I believe.
So it's 4-cam, 32 valves. It's a super advanced engine, and basically it's VTEC before VTEC.
Yeah, and yeah, we did the drag race with it. I was there, actually. Tommy and Case were the drivers. I was helping out. You know when I said the Viper didn't disappoint me? I'm sorry to say, the Corvette, the C4 kind of disappointed me a little bit.
Well, it disappointed me when I got into it and I couldn't fit in the seat. I'll tell you that. That certainly disappointed, because we bought this on Bring a Trailer. And
it was in Phoenix again, right?
Yeah, it's always, it's always a...
But it pistol over itself.
Yeah, it's always a gamble buying something on Bring a Trailer. Because you never get to see it unless people say you should go look at it, but I wasn't going to fly to Phoenix.
Just
to look at it.
Yeah.
And it was $27,000, and Tommy and I had a road trip, which I love doing, so we were going to drive it. And this is Moab, and what happened was I'm on that Ozempic, but it's not Ozempic, it's the GLP-1
uh-huh.
version. And so I thought I was sick to my stomach because of what I ate, but I think it was what the side effects of, these GLP-1 medicines are. And so I was fertilizing northern Arizona and southern Utah. And so I had to get to Walker Drugs to buy some diarrhea medicine. And as we're pulling in, all of a sudden the alternator light comes on. And I'm like, Tommy, open the hood. And then I look and there's
oil everywhere.
Oil line that had come off the oil cooler and it's squirting oil everywhere, 7 quarts of it, like a cut artery. And that's when things got ugly, because not only was it emptying itself out of oil, but then it started raining. And how were we going to fix that? Because that's a very high pressure line that goes to the oil cooler, and you can't just like put it back in and say, okay, now we're going to drive
another 350 miles
back to Colorado. So that video's out there if you want to see it. I don't want to retell the whole story. I've told it before. But that was very disappointing. And of course, the first disappointing thing was it's got these super sporty seats with these high side bolsters.
Yeah.
And my fat American ass does not, you can see my fat American ass there, does not fit into those seats.
Oh, you bought cushions?
So we bought
that's cute.
We bought cushions so that I can actually sit in the car, which is a solution. It causes another problem. Can you guess what that problem is?
You're too tall now.
Yeah, then because I'm 6'2", I'm already tall with the long torso, and then my head hits the roof.
Yeah.
So then I'm sitting there, bumping up against the roof. So the whole experience wasn't grand. And we are in the process. We have a friend, Jordan, who's in the Springs, and he thinks that there's something wrong. Also, first synco is gone in the car. So first gear synco is bad. So it doesn't have a lot of miles. I want to say his car is like 23,000 miles. It's not a lot for a 91.
So here's my theory.
That was a key, by the way, we're just showing.
Yeah, here's my theory. you know, Brigham trailer, this car externally looks amazing, right? Yeah. And the interior looks really nice. And the miles are low. But I think what happened, the previous owner probably didn't drive it that much. So the car was sitting, and maybe some of the lines, like you were talking about, maybe dry rotted or maybe, you know, got old. And when you actually put some strain on the car and drove it cross country, this happened, right? It blew a line.
So we're already like $2,000 into this car already. So to fix that oil, we had to get a kit that was $360 just for that little oil line. You can't see it. It's like 6 inches long, maybe 8 inches long. And then to install it was like $700. And then we took it in to have the transmission looked at, and they tried to fix it for another $1,200. So we're already $2,000 into it, and the car still doesn't have a first gear synchro. Luckily, the oil line is fixed. But it's such a special car, and you know, it's such a unique bit of Corvette history that I feel like it's worth spending money on. So this week, actually, Tommy's going to take it to our friend Jordan, who actually is an expert on these cars. And we're going to, he thinks that there's something wrong with the engine, that it's not putting out. Not because of we ran out of oil. We didn't run the engine minus oil the second it.
It's okay. Yeah. You stopped.
Yeah, we stopped it. It was fine. But we're going to, he might actually start to tear it down a little bit, and we're going to see if it's not fulfilling its full potential. So yeah. Because in the drag race, the Corvette just killed it, and it shouldn't have killed it. It shouldn't have.
Yes, but there's something else.
I'm sorry,
too.
The Viper just killed it. Shouldn't have killed it.
The Viper did kill it, and I was driving.
Yeah, I know.
No, I wasn't driving then. Anyways, it doesn't matter. But you know what else disappointed me? This car is too quiet. Hmm. When I was expecting a Corvette of the highest performance, especially like a C4, I expected the exhaust to be like a boat, you know, bah, 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 you know, just a really deep, really quiet, you know, pleasing and loud. And this car is quiet. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
It's pretty quiet.
It's too quiet.
Yeah. So we have some work to do.
So look, Case was right about this. The real money in these cars is the engine and the body. And the body has never been in a car accident. It's almost pristine. The interior is almost pristine. So if we can get the engine sorted.
Dialed in.
And Jordan said he's got another transmission because it's basically a C4 transmission, but it's a little different. It's not quite the same. So, you know, maybe for another $5,000, we can get this thing dialed in and have a really good working ZR1 C4.
And then you need to straight pipe it.
Yes, we need to straight pipe it. We also have to pass emissions.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. All right. So
What's next? That is
yet to be determined. The next one is another Corvette that I bought this year. We bought three Corvettes this year, actually.
You're in the Corvette kick.
I got in a Corvette mood for some reason. And we bought a 1968 Corvette C3 convertible. And there are a couple of reasons for that.
First, where did you find this one? I forget.
It was local. It was a Colorado car that somebody put in a barn back in 91, and then it stayed there until recently. And it was this kind of platinum orange, and then somebody resprayed it, and I mean like rattle-canded yellow. So it's a good 20-foot car, and when you're doing videos, 20 feet is good enough. But it's the first year of the C3. It's a complete B can. It has one and only one option, which is the convertible. So
yeah.
No power steering, no air conditioning. It's got a 3-speed manual, Andre. Most of them had 4 speeds.
Yeah, 3-speed.
But Corvettes are weird. So C3s, when you get into the malaise era of Corvette, which is basically 73 and up, maybe 74, then they become worthless because they're choked with emissions. The early Corvettes, the 68 being probably one of the worst of the early ones. Anyway, they're defined by, you can look at them by seeing the chrome bumpers. Mm-hmm. So I think in 73 they lost a front chrome bumper, but they still had the back chrome bumper. But this one has front and rear chrome bumpers. So any of these chrome bumper cars are actually very valuable because I have to say this, and I'm gonna go out on a limb. It's a hot take. I think the C3 is the best looking Corvette of them all.
Oof. I wouldn't agree with you completely. But I do appreciate this one.
Well, it's got the classic coke bottle shape.
It. Yeah. I would say it was also the astronaut car, right? The astronauts were really...
We're missing our covers for our lights there. There should be a cover.
But you know
there.
What else was an astronaut car back in the day, in the Apollo days as well, is C2.
Yeah.
You know, and the C2, in my mind, may be a little bit hotter than this generation. Anyways, I really appreciate this car.
C2 like was around before I was born.
Yes.
So it was before me
as well.
Yeah. So I don't really appreciate it as much. This was when I was growing up. These were like when I was a kid. these were the cars that, you know, were cool. Now, the 68 does have some cool features. So it's got like these wipers that come up. There's like a little flap, and the flap opens up, and then the wipers come out. It's got different door handles. They kind of fix them up. Yeah. And probably the most distinct thing about a 68 Corvette is that Car and Driver lent it. Chevrolet lent it to Car and Driver. And Car and Driver had it for one day, and they said, give it back to us when it's finished.
Really?
Yeah, it was so bad. So the 68 does have a reputation of not being quite cooked. But, you know, my biggest issue is it has no options, including the tilt. And so it's got a very small footwell, and I have a hard time driving it because the steering wheel goes right. Have you driven it?
Yeah.
It goes right.
It's hard to get into.
Yeah, it's hard. The steering wheel, and this one has even a smaller steering wheel than what came with it.
Yeah.
Because it has no power steering, of course. And the steering wheel comes right into my lap, and I can't even, if I'm wearing like my traditional Hokas, I can't get my feet into the well, and I into can't the operate well. Yeah. The clutch. It's just too tight. So I'm kind of ready to sell it, to move it on. So if we pay $22,000 for it, which I think is not bad, I think it's probably what those cars are going for. Like I said, people are like, they're worthless. No, the pre-73s are actually very valuable, especially if it's got the 427. Ours doesn't.
No, it does not.
It's got the 350.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's plenty fast. The guy we bought it from basically went through it mechanically. And so mechanically, it's about as sound as it can get. So it
and it starts pretty well.
It starts, runs, steers, stops, shifts, all of that. So it's not a restoration. It's just a mechanical. Cosmetically, it probably needs another restoration.
Yeah.
But for what we need it for, which is videos, it works. So because of the reason that I can't drive it, and because I think it's kind of something that is a unique vehicle that needs a unique home, I'm ready to sell it. So if you guys are interested in it, $22,000, it's yours, and you can have a cool.
Not going to fight you for that.
You know what the
one.
Corvettes do? You know what the American car guys do?
What?
They, like, this is one of, I will tell you this, this is one of like 200 three-speed 1968 Corvettes. Not one of one, but only one.
Sunday, only on Sunday. Sunday. It's available for you.
They only built about 200 three-speed. The rest were either four-speed or automatic. So if you want the rare bean can.
Yeah, if you don't like shifting that much, only three speeds.
It's easy. Only three speeds.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Actually, I did drive it, and it's actually pleasant to drive.
It's fine to drive, yeah.
It's not
burbles
bad.
Nicely. Yeah. It accelerates, it turns.
It has a good sound to it.
Yeah.
It has that smell, the old car smell.
Yeah, the pre-catalytic converter.
Yeah, it has a good smell.
And it only eats like a quart of oil every third or fourth fill.
Yeah, it's okay.
But that's what old cars do. All right, so we're down to number five, and that is the car I just sold. I sold it over the weekend.
Oh, it's gone?
Yeah. So at our little car auction that we go to, the donated car auction, I bought a Cadillac Eldorado 91, I believe, ETC, which stands for Eldorado Touring Coupe.
It's a 2001.
Sorry, 2001.
Yes.
I'm getting confused with all these
cars.
That's
okay. But it seems like you're in the General Motors craze here.
I do seem to be buying General Motors cars, don't I?
But we did talk about Viper and Bronco.
So this Cadillac was unique because I don't know the history of it, but if you look at it, you'll note that it has...
It's very tinted.
It's very tinted. It has some ugly wheels.
Yes.
Oh, look at those. Those are
not proper.
No, not proper.
No.
It had an issue where, not this side, but the other side door had been dented and the rearview mirror actually fell off.
Yeah.
But
the interior was nice.
Beautiful. 80 some thousand miles.
Yeah.
I feel like this car was owned by an older woman or man that then gave it to their grandson or granddaughter, who then went and tried to make it into a sports car. Like tinted the hell out of the wheels, bought these, is it MoMA or Mona? I always say
MoMA or something?
MoMA, yeah, wheels, to try to make it cool, which you can't.
No, you can't.
And then crashed it, and then the grandfather or grandmother
and
said,
they sold it, yes.
Yeah, we're donating this to our church, so you get yourself, you know, an old Subaru.
Or a Civic.
Or a Civic or something, yeah. So the first thing I did to it when we bought it, there was a rearview cap, was I went and replaced the wheels and tires. So I actually went and found the original wheels that would have been on the car.
Yeah.
Not the chrome.
And you found
ones.
Nice ones, too.
Nice ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Bought new tires for it.
I think that's where the Toby video is the car with the right wheels.
Yeah. So let's show that video. We spent like $500 on new wheels and tires for it. And I think it really freshened up the car.
Yeah. And it looks like a Cadillac should.
Yeah. Then we spent like $15 on epoxy, and I glued the rearview mirror back on. And it actually worked fine. You can see those are the right wheels for it. And then we took it to Toby, and he actually went through the whole thing to find out.
He actually didn't have good things to say about the engine. It is a North Star, after all.
So North Stars, especially that era, are known for blowing head gaskets, because what happened was, if you're into classic Eldorados or GM cars, they didn't drill the holes deep enough where you attach the top of the engine to the bottom of the engine. And so over time, the head gasket would start to leak, and then it would blow, and that was the problem. And Cadillac knew about this problem, GM knew about it, and they didn't fix it for like 7 years. So he doesn't like North Stars. People think they failed, but it's like a Porsche with an IMS bearing. If it hasn't failed after 80,000 miles, it's probably not going to fail, I'm guessing.
And they make it kits. Was leaking something, wasn't it?
Yeah,
when
it
got to Toby's,
it was leaking. You know what? It was leaking
coolant.
And he found out that the coolant was it coolant or was it? I think it was the little container where the coolant goes back into it.
Oh, the expansion tank.
It was either the expansion tank,
okay,
or the wiper fluid was leaking. And so what he did was he replaced it.
Okay.
And then one of the engine mounts, the one that you see right here on
the right. Oh, that was shot, right?
That was completely shot. So I bought a new one and I replaced that. So let's see. We bought it for like, what, $1,500, $1,600?
Yeah.
And these cars are actually valuable. Like if you go to Craigslist or Facebook, people sell these for up to like $10,000.
Wait a minute. There's a drum roll coming.
Yes?
Because we actually made money on this one.
We made money.
We always lose money on cars.
Yes, we
Because it's about video, right? It's not about wheeling and dealing. Generally,
so let's say we put $1,900 into it, bought it for $1,600. We paid Toby like $400, put another $500 in wheels for $2,500.
Yes,
and drum roll, and I sold it in a really sketchy way this weekend to a foreign gentleman for $3,700.
Bam! $1,200 profit.
That's right. The first time we ever made on a car. It was dark. I went to the post office. I was looking for him. This guy comes out of the shadows. Luckily, Zach was there with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, he took it for a test drive, and everything works in the car, which is cool. Everything.
Like windows, everything. Yeah.
Everything works, even with the dent. I wanted, I think, $4,000 for it. He talked me down to $3,700, and away the car went. So our ETC... is gone. The other thing about this car is it had the best ride of any car that we bought this year.
Yeah, even Mary.
Oh, there you go. I think it was cool. You can see it leaking there.
Mary had it. Yep. Mary drove it for a week. She commented on the smooth, just couch-type ride car offered.
It had one of the early forms of MagnaRide.
Yeah, this adjustable suspension.
Yeah, so at that time, Cadillac said that the car would like sense the road ahead of it, and it would change.
And it actually did.
Yeah, change the suspension 5 billion times a second or something, you know, to give you the smoothest ride. Yes. My biggest issue was, and you drove it.
Yes.
I didn't fit. My head would hit the ceiling.
Well, you and I are freakishly tall anyways.
Well,
but
you drive like a gangster.
I lean back,
yes. Yes,
yes. And you have to lean back in this car. You do absolutely have to lean back. Cole?
Cole says yes. You're like in a lazy boy reclined when you drive. So I'm so surprised you didn't hit your head.
Yes, I'm good.
So we sold it. I think it was probably worth more because I put the ad up on Craigslist. And within 4 minutes of putting the ad up, this guy had contacted me and wanted to buy it. And he came, had cash, sold it. Yeah, so there it goes. Bye-bye, Caddy.
By the way, as we're moving on to other cars, Roman and I, we now have this kind of problem where we're always on the donated car auction.
Yes.
Always checking it.
Yes.
Because there's some good deals, and you found another one.
Yeah, so I was on it again, and I found another Cadillac. So that's why I wasn't that sad selling this one. Because
you have another one.
We have another one, same color. And this time, it's even better because it's the only Italian/American Cadillac ever. And I'm, of course, talking about the Cadillac Allante.
Allante.
Which was this crazy car that GM built to compete with, like, the Mercedes SL. They were built, at least the bodies.
Designed by Pininfarina.
Italy. And then this was the crazy part. GM actually took a 747, converted it to a transporter so that they could put the bodies on the airplane.
And they flew them to U.S.?
And they flew them to the U.S.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Now, this is pre-Northstar, so it's got the 4.6-liter V8. So we don't have that Northstar issue with this car.
Okay.
The top works. It's kind of a weird semi-manual top, but it works. It's in really good shape. And the car, once again, I think it was owned by, you know, one person, because it's a really good car. There are some small issues with it, nothing that would keep you from actually driving it as a daily driver.
But it had proper wheels. Everything was proper on it.
Yeah, everything was proper. This one doesn't have any dents or any problems with it in general. It's just a really cool car that if you, you know, at some point are looking for an Elante, because they've become pretty cheap. I mean, I think I bought this thing for, what, like $2,000? No, same thing. It wasn't very expensive, maybe $2,100. They go for like between $4,000 and $6,000 in really good condition. But this car is actually really good. Like I said.
And the interior, it needed some cleaning, okay?
Yeah, I cleaned it.
So these donated cars are usually...
They sit for a long time.
They sit, or somebody, you know, somebody that doesn't need the car can no longer use it. So they sit, so it requires some cleaning. And it also needed a battery, right?
Yeah, so I put a new battery in it. The other Cadillac had the ABS and traction control light on. And we never fixed it. The brakes worked and the car ran and drove. So I'm assuming that like ABS didn't work. And I'm assuming like, if you were in snow, it would just spin its wheels. But didn't stop it from driving. This only has a brake light on, and I think it could just be because the emergency brake isn't quite set right. So no lights. There's the old 4.6 V8, so not the North Star. And in general, it's a really good car. And if you want to buy it, I'll sell it to you. I'm ready to get rid of it too.
Really? Why?
Summer's over. I bought another car, another convertible, and I've kind of gotten my convertible fix.
Okay.
So I bought this because it was cool and it was a convertible. It also has that really cool dash. Look at that.
Digital, almost digital dash.
Yeah, look
but
at
not
all those
quite.
Buttons. This was like peak buttons.
Yes, lots of buttons.
Lots of buttons.
But it's really about the videos, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, yeah. It's not really to hold on to these cars forever.
Right.
We're not a collector. We do videos. We want to have some fun.
Yeah, and I kind of got my fix of convertibles, and I found the perfect convertible for me in this thing. It drives well. Up there by the rearview mirror, there's like a little, you know, where you have those little lights that shine down. Somehow that's all messed up, but that's really the only thing that's wrong with it.
And
that
I like it has
bad.
I usually hate the dealership tags on the back of vehicles.
Yes.
But when you find a car that's 30 or 35 years old,
yeah,
it has a Denver dealership tag on it.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. Look at those instruments. How retro is that, huh?
Very retro.
So if anybody wants it, I don't know. Make us an offer. info@TFLTruck or ask. Is it ask at TFL Car?
No, it's the other way.
Ask at TFL Truck, info@TFLCar. Thank you, Andre. What do you think of it? That's the thing that's broken.
At first I was suspect of this. When you first told me you bought an Elante, I was like, oh no. But then I saw it in person and it actually grew on me. It kind of grows on you. I mean, it's kind of boxy, but it has some charm to it. And it's a convertible.
It does. So the next car we bought was the Toyota Sports 800. I don't want to talk about that because we did a whole podcast last week about it.
Yes. So we dedicated an entire hour to this Toyota 800.
And it deserved it because it's Toyota's first sports car. Yeah. So, you know, go back one episode and listen to that episode and you'll find out all about the Sports 800. But the next one is very interesting, and this is something we're going to get back into modern times, and that is, of course, we bought one of the early Toyota 4Runners, one of the newest 6th-gen 4Runners.
Exactly.
The TRD Off-Road.
Uh-huh.
It was expensive. I'm going to say it was $57,000, if I remember right, which is a lot for a 4Runner.
Yes, because we didn't want specifically the most expensive one or the hybrid one, right? We wanted a turbocharged, you know, kind of the basic powertrain that it offers.
Was it 57? Does that sound right? Or am I 48? I forget now.
No. I remember specifically. Yeah. This was about $10,000 more than the Tacoma the previous year.
Okay, so it was
right.
57.
So it was 57. So, which is quite a lot of money, actually, for one of these cars.
And we immediately took it off-road.
Oh, you have to. Yeah, you bought it in Los Angeles area, didn't you?
Yeah, because the cars come from Japan, and so they hit the port, obviously, on the West Coast first.
Yes.
And then they kind of disperse through the rest of the country. And so we wanted to be one of the first, so we bought it in L.A. and then took it back on I-70 and stopped in Moab and took it off-roading.
And it climbing the wall on fins and things, which is a difficult obstacle, my friend.
Yes, and you know, we compared to the Bronco, which it, of course, competes against. And I got to say, there it is going up the wall. Let's see if Tommy can make it.
I can't remember what happens. You were there, right?
I was there. I was filming that, yeah.
Tommy's hair is crazy in this one.
Yes, it's a sore spot with me and him.
What?
his hair.
Well, it's okay. He looks like Einstein, you know, like just kind of wild.
I just feel like he'll be looking back at these videos 10 years from now, and he'll look at his hair, and he'll be thinking to himself, what the hell was I thinking? I could be wrong, but that's what he likes, so I'm not going to argue about it.
But we're not Hollywood models, right?
We're not. No, we're not Hollywood models. Let's get back to the Foreigner. So first of all, it's the sixth generation.
Yes.
And the big news out of this generation is they got rid of the six-cylinder, and everybody's freaked out about it. They went to the same engine that's in the Tacoma that we bought the year before. So we're talking about a four-cylinder turbo.
Yeah, 2.4 liter. And that's not really an issue for me. Hey, Tommy makes it.
Yeah, like a third try, he probably makes it up the wall.
He makes it. He had to choose the right line. Yeah. It's beautiful.
We kind of damaged those steps a little bit.
Don't tell anybody.
Underneath, yeah. Well, it's already sold, so whoever has it. If you find those little supports for the steps are bent a little bit, you know it came from the wall. if you own this car.
Which is a sign of, it's a scar. It's a battle scar.
It is. It's like going to, World War I and coming back with, where the bullet grazed you.
Yes, exactly. No, so I have a... the powertrain doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that the previous Forerunner, the venerable fifth generation one, was there for a long time. It was actually roomy. But for somehow, this new one, remember we compared them, and the new one was a little bit tighter inside, and I didn't quite like it.
I think my issue with the new one has to do with one number, and that's the Land Cruiser 250. So we also drove that. Mm-hmm. And the two actually, the Forerunner can be had for less, but they do overlap price-wise when you get to the upper model. So you can get the base Land Cruiser for what a TRD Pro off-road 4Runner will cost you. And then if you get into the Trail Hunter, then you're getting into the upper Land Cruisers. And I just got to say that I'm a little disappointed in the ride of the current 4Runner. I think it's very sporty and maybe a little too sporty.
This new one, yeah.
And I think if I were to spend $57,000 again, I'd probably go for the Land Cruiser, because the Land Cruiser has a better ride. Plus, I think it comes standard with that disconnectable sway bar, if I'm not mistaken. Does it come standard with that? I could be wrong.
I don't think so, because Land Cruiser, you can add a lot of options to
it. Maybe it's not standard.
But by the way, the Land Cruisers are all hybrids, aren't they?
No. They're all hybrids. You're right.
The 4Runner is not. The 4Runner, you can choose, right? Hybrid or no hybrid.
But I just think that the Land Cruiser has better seating. The seats are more comfortable. The ride is more comfortable, and the view is better out of it, because this has that kind of more sporty slope back, slope front. This is more youthful. It's more sporty. But in my old age now, I kind of like comfort more. And so I would go for, I think, speaking of Land Cruiser, there it is.
It's right there. Yeah.
It's right there. I think we compare the two, actually. I would go for, and I think off-road, because the suspension is a little bit more compliant, the Land Cruiser is actually a little bit better. There it goes, going up the wall. So let's see how the Land Cruiser does.
But Roman, if you gave me $56,000 and you told me Bronco Everglades or 4Runner TRD Off-Road, I would go Bronco.
One attempt? Yeah, one attempt.
Is it? Oh, it's because you're a better driver, right?
I don't know if I'm a better driver. I just think I'm more willing to put the car in harm's way, maybe, than you would go for the Bronco.
I would go for the Bronco, given the same money. Yeah, I think so.
And I think there's a lot to be said for that, because we own the Bronco.
Ted, by the way, commented on our Patreon live stream. He says, my father always gave me hell about my hair. So I think you're not the only one.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm not the only one. Sorry. Sorry. I apologize for your dad, and I apologize to you, Tommy. One day when you're my age and you have a son who does it, maybe you'll understand. Anything else you want to say about the 4Runner? Before we move on?
No, I think we've done it.
Yeah, I mean, look, off-road, the problem with the 4Runner compared to the Bronco is it just doesn't compare off-road, at least not unless you actually do something like lift it, right? The Bronco from the factory not only has 35s, which make a huge difference, right? It wouldn't struggle on the wall. It also has a front locker, which the 4Runner doesn't have. So as an off-roader, the Bronco is just much better. It also has a removable top, right?
Yeah.
But as an everyday driver, I think if most of my driving were on road, the 4Runner is a better vehicle. If most of my driving were off-road, the Bronco is much better.
Sure, but I think the Bronco is it's a little bit compromised. Maybe the Bronco is a little bit louder inside because the top is removable. But nonetheless, I would choose Bronco out of those two all day long, the time.
This is maybe changing. This is a whole another podcast. We can talk about reliability with Toyota. We're not sure it's the same as it used to be. But certainly the perception is there that the 4Runner is a much more reliable, long-lasting vehicle. And so here in Colorado, Wranglers and 4Runners retain their value like crazy. I'm not sure the Bronco is at that point, at least not yet, or maybe it won't get there. I don't know. We don't do those studies. But the
time will tell, Roman.
But the 4Runner certainly has held its value, because that car, we held it onto it like 3 months, and we sold it for exactly what we bought it for.
Yeah, it's still hot. Yeah. But 4Runners, especially in like Boulder, Colorado, it's still
here in Colorado,
red hot.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the car where we lost a boat ton of money. I think we lost $12,000 in 3 months.
Oh, geez.
The exact opposite. And of course, I'm talking about the ID Buzz.
Yes.
What a car. What a cool-ass car. This is
looks amazing.
A classic story of too little, too late. And when I say little, I mean battery. And when I say late, I mean
timing.
If this had come out 4 or 5 years ago when it came out in Europe, right after they unveiled it and introduced it, then this thing would have been a runaway success. Instead, it took them forever. They got rid of the short wheelbase for some mysterious reason, only brought the long wheelbase here.
Which I appreciate, actually.
Yeah, but a lot of people would rather have the short wheelbase, so why not give people a choice? And they made it crazy expensive. We're looking at $72,000 for the first edition.
Yeah, that's the price we paid, right?
Yeah, and we sold it for $60,000.
Yeah.
3 months later.
So the styling is a home run.
Yes.
When you look at the ID Buzz, and I still do to this day, when
did
one
you
drives
I
by.
I matched my coat to the car.
You were, really top notch.
That was just.
Your presentation was top notch.
That was
here.
Just by accident.
I think Cole is with the camera, isn't he?
Yeah, Cole was behind it.
Our producer Cole is shaking because it's freezing.
Look, we bought it from our friends at Reading, Volkswagen of Reading.
Yes.
Great people.
Pennsylvania, right?
Pennsylvania. Great dealership. I miss you guys. They're one of our Patreon supporters. I need to go buy. When Audi makes a car, maybe it will go buy an Audi from you, or maybe a Volkswagen when they make a car that is red hot again, because they're the best. If you guys want to buy a car and you're in Pennsylvania, the Audi dealership in Reading or Volkswagen, couldn't speak more highly of them. One of the rare dealerships where they love cars and they love customers and they don't treat you like you're a shill.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we bought it from them. We drove it all the way across country back to Colorado because we wanted to road trip it. And the first thing that we figured out was that the battery is way too small for the size. I mean, this is a big car, Andre. This is a big car.
Yeah, and also very comfortable, right?
It is very comfortable.
That's because it's big. And the third row is comfortable and the second row is comfortable. I really love that part. But Roman, you and I were talking about it, I think right before you left to actually purchase it and pick it up, is that what the original VW bus represented for America is freedom, right? Traveling from coast to coast, going down the PCH highway.
I thought more like free love. I wasn't around the 60s, but that would be my dream, free love.
That's not where I was going.
No, I was going with free love.
And that means range.
How do we miss that, huh?
Range.
No, free love. Well, how do we miss that? Cole, don't you wish you had been around in the 60s? Imagine like you could be like in a Volkswagen bus. Right, you could be on the ski slope
or on the beach,
and because he loves to board, he could be,
yeah,
and you know, all these young ladies would be jumping in, give us a ride, and then you would put the incense, fire up the incense.
I saw one of those like a 70-year-old dude. Yeah. That had like the hippie flowers.
Yeah, you saw that. Yeah.
Hippie flowers on his bus.
One of the new ones, though.
Yeah. That's so cool. And then they'd be like, "Hey, Cole, we have no place to spend the night." So you'd be like, "Hey, I got a bus. Your ladies are welcome to spend it in here."
And wow.
That's just the way it was, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah, we're guessing.
We're guessing. But and you could fill it up with gas. You wouldn't have to go.
Please write to us if we're right.
Silver horn.
We're going to get off the air due to this.
What would you put on the radio? What would be like? What's a classic 60s?
You would put
Neil Young.
You could.
You'd be like Neil Young.
You could do the Beach Boys.
Yeah, you could do the Beach Boys. Yeah, that would be really cool.
You could put on the Beach Boys and you're set.
And, wish they all were Anyway, I'm not going to sing because I can't sing. So I had a horrendous experience charging it and road tripping it. The weather was cold. The battery was small. I think we were getting, what, like 150 miles of range coal, something like that, or getting down to the point where
But it was also snowstorming during this time.
Yeah, it was one of those nightmare road trips in an EV where we tried to go to like three different chargers and they either wouldn't work or they were out of service. Or they were slow. Oh, my gosh. It was a nightmare.
And these are built in Europe, right? So,
yes.
So that's partially also another reason why they were expensive and are expensive is because they also have to be shipped in over here to the United States.
There's me trying to get the not yet turned on EA station working.
Thank you.
After we picked the hotel that had chargers, specifically, that turned out to be only Tesla chargers.
Wow,
Nex, and we didn't have Nex.
You guys had a bad day.
We had a bad trip.
You had a bad, and it's also not the fastest charging vehicle.
89 kilowatts, right there. It's 97. This is finally when we found a working one. 106.
106 kilowatts, which is not a super fast speed for charging.
The only good thing about this charger was that there was Trader Joe's across the street.
I have a suggestion to VW.
Yes,
may I?
Yes, please. You're a big VW guy.
I used to be, yes. I mean, I used to own, let's see, 2002 VW Golf TDI. I had a 1992 GLI Jetta. I had an Audi A6, an Audi 5000 Quattro. VW Quantum. Before the Passat, there was the Quantum.
Did you see that screen? It said 98% charged,
yes.
177 miles of range.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Here's a suggestion, VW. Keep the styling. Do not, you know, when the battery technology improves, which could be next year or maybe 2 years from now, where you can get denser batteries, which are more affordable, then bring the price down on this van. But do not change the styling. I think the styling and the feeling of the buzz
perfect.
Is perfect.
As the youngsters would say, the vibe.
The vibe. We need to ask Mary what she... Well, actually, Mary and Jen reviewed it several times.
They love the vibe.
Yeah, they loved it. So keep it around. Make more options, maybe a short wheelbase option like Roman is saying, maybe a little pickup truck version where you could put something, you know, in the back of the bed. But make it a more affordable and bigger range. That's it.
All right. Well, we won't talk about the haptic controls. We've gone through that ad nauseum. We won't talk about, you know, the fact that it's having a hard time selling because it's, I think, just too expensive for what it is. So let's just jump to the next car, which is, and we should finish this at this podcast.
Is this the last one for this part?
No, there's four more. But we'll go through them quickly. The Tesla Model S that we bought this year from 2014. Now, I'm selling this right now. If you're actually interested in this car, it is for sale. So I bought this car because we wanted to prove that unlike phones, auto batteries actually don't degrade. So this is the second year of a Tesla Model S, second year that Tesla actually sold cars.
Is this 2010?
No, 2014. 2013 was the first year that they sold. And back then, to incentivize people to buy cars, they did something special. I'll tell you that in a second. Because when I bought this car, it was a sad story. I bought this car for about $13,800 from a gentleman who was selling it for his friend who passed away from cancer.
Ah.
And he was selling it so that he could give the money to his widow and their family.
Oh, that's nice.
So I wasn't going to argue about the price because I felt like this was going to a good cause. So he didn't know anything about the car. He just, you know, was trying to get rid of it so that he could help the widow. And so I drove it. And there are a couple of things that were wrong with these cars. And some of our major, first and foremost, the drive unit would fail.
DU, drive unit.
Yeah, the motor would, I think water got into it and eventually it would like start to squeal and fail. I was worried about that. And then, of course, the thing drove well. It's, you know, very well cared for. There's a small scuff in the front bumper, but in general, everything on the car worked well, and so I bought it, and then I went to supercharge it, and I found out something special about it.
It's got lifetime free included supercharging.
And premium connectivity, so yes. you get maps with it as well. So free premium connectivity, free supercharging for the life, not the owner, the life of the car.
Of the car.
So you could buy this car, and you could never pay another dollar to fill it up with electrons.
Yeah.
Which is pretty incredible.
And I remember I went to a Tesla station because I was driving it one day, and I just plugged in. It always works. I mean, the experience of just inserting the charger, and you don't have to get your credit card out. You don't have to do anything.
And then you look on your app, and it says amount billed zero.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And we, like I said, we happen to have a Tesla station right across from Trader Joe's. And so it's perfect. You can go plug it in, go get Trader Joe's, do your shopping, come back, and the car's got some electricity in it. Now, the thing about these older Teslas is that the batteries are really good. So Jen, who works here,
yes,
well, she's off now having her baby, of course, or had her baby. But what she was able to do is when you take a Tesla into their dealership, they give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down on the battery. And because...
What'd she get when she took it in?
Thumbs up.
Okay.
So we found out that the battery is actually really good.
But you also know that because of the range.
Yeah, the range. It's got about 90%, give or take, based on the range of
the battery. Yeah, but this is, 12 years after the fact? 11 years after the fact.
After the fact. So yeah. It still has 200, and you charge it up fully, 250 miles of range. It's an 85,
yeah.
Which means it's got an 85 kilowatt hour battery.
Yeah.
Rear-wheel drive, not all-wheel drive. And it's been generally a good car. The heater went out. And the seat started doing this crazy thing where it would start moving on its own.
Yeah, it's a ghost seat.
It's a ghost seat, yeah.
And yeah, so it moves.
But before we sell something, I'm always going to make sure that I'm going to pass it along in the best possible condition. So we're in the process of selling it if you want it. I'm asking $15,900 for it. And the reason I'm asking we're asking $15,900 is I just took it to the dealership and spent $3,000 on it.
Yikes.
Yeah, so making
sure. But also the screen had something wrong with it, right?
No, the screen is fine.
Okay.
Making sure that everything is sorted. All in all, we're into this thing more than just $15,900. But, you know, I think for a vehicle, if I go to KBB and they sell for around, let's say, $14,000 to $16,000. So I think $15,900. With the bonus of getting free supercharging and premium connectivity to your life is a fair price. So if you're interested, info@TFLcar or ask@TFLtruck. Did I say it right this time?
You nailed it.
Thank you. And it's a good car. It's been sorted. It's got plenty of range.
It's
and
pretty quick too.
Yeah, it's very quick.
Yeah.
If you want a Tesla that you'll never have to pay another dollar for to keep running, at least not energy wise, this is the one to do it. All right, let's keep going.
Where are we at?
We're gonna skip to the next one, which is actually that's a bonus one. We'll skip that.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't this year. Probably one of my favorite cars, the Corvette C8. So we bought a C8 this year.
Yeah. So this is the final kick
of
this year that you had with Corvettes. And this was a local car, right? We picked it up at Johnson Auto Plaza, right?
Yeah. This belonged to Mr. Johnson.
Yeah. Mr. Johnson himself.
Yeah. It's an LT3, so it's got all the bells and whistles. I love the color.
Of the first C8s.
Yeah. 2020.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I think originally this car would have been like $90,000+, and I want to say we got it for like 70-ish, 75-ish, because obviously it's a five-year-old car now, and when I purchased it, it had like 6,000 miles. We've put on 2,000 miles, so we haven't put a lot of mileage on it, but I have to say, that was a weird edit, huh? How do we go from a Corvette to driving on ice?
I think he's talking about his experiences, I don't know.
I think so too. But I got to tell you, I love this car. It's just such a beautiful car. It's fast. It's fun. It's everything you want a car to be. And I think, you know, I watch a lot of other YouTube channels, and everybody doesn't give the Corvette enough credit. I think that's because it's kind of an old man car, and so people just discount it.
But I think it's changing.
GM basically built a supercar, and if you want to go hypercar
affordably
with the ZR1, you can for, you know, an affordable price. I mean, it's...
Well, not that $60,000 or $70,000 is affordable anymore, but
compared to a McLaren,
compared to a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or anything like that, that's a deal.
Yeah,
that's a screaming deal.
Yeah. So I love this car, and I already sold it.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So we traded it in a Z06.
A C8.
Yeah.
Z06.
Yeah. A
wow.
Brand new one.
Wow.
Because I think that is the sweet spot in the current Corvette lineup. I thought about a ZR1, a ZR1X. That's just too much power. The Z06, this is 495 horsepower. The Z06 is, I think, 700. And then you
it's
get
like
up to
655 or something.
Yeah, and you get up to 1,000 or 1,200 for the ZR1X. Just too much. But everything I've read and heard, the Z06 is the sweet spot.
It's not about too much power. It's just too much money, right? Because ZR1X... You probably have to pay dealer markups, right? Probably. Or maybe you won't be able to find one. And it's now $250,000.
Yeah, but that's still, right? Compared to a Revuelto, which is 800,000.
Yes.
Which has, you know,
less horsepower.
Less horsepower. It's a bargain.
It is a bargain.
Even at $200,000.
Yeah, but we don't have that much
but
money.
But the great news is, look, that's the great news, that everybody wants a ZR1 is now trying to get rid of their Z06s.
Ah.
So Z06s are selling at
or
often
below
MSRP.
Yeah.
So I got a really good deal at 10% below MSRP with the help of Chevy on this Z06.
So here's my rub.
But this is something most people can get. It's not something special because of us, I don't think. I mean, if you go right. and you look, a lot of Z06s are right now.
They're discounted.
Discounted, yeah.
Yeah. So I have I'm a little bit on the fence on the current C8 uh-huh. that you just sold, but we still have,
people,
right?
People think the looks are very polarizing.
Yeah, I'm not completely sold on the looks, and partially it's because the front wheel track is a little bit inside the car. I want the shoulders to be a little bit further out.
The Z06 does that.
The Z06 does that. So I think when you will roll in your Z06, the new one, I may have to steal the keys.
Of course, it's the company car. We're gonna go. We're gonna drive, and we've done a lot with this car.
We have.
We have done a lot. So it's not like it's, you know, my personal car.
We also put this car on GrangerWarranty.com.
Yes.
So we added warranty to it.
And we used it.
We used it, and it saved us money.
Yeah. So what happened was, you know, our Ranger is, of course, a sponsor of ours, and they provide
factory-backed extended warranties
after the factory warranty runs out.
Yes.
But the great thing about Granger is they do it using OEM parts. And using OEM
technicians.
And you
could service it at the dealerships now.
Anywhere in the country. Yes. So you guys want to check them out. So we got one. We paid like $2,000 for it, or maybe $2,500. And right after I got it, it happened. All of a sudden, I took a little trip. I think it was over Memorial Day up to Estes Park. And I got a light saying, check engine.
Yeah.
It turns out that this car has like these baffles in the exhaust. So when you go when you go from like street mode to track mode, the baffles open.
Yeah, and the sound is different.
And those stopped opening.
Yeah, and I was there. We took the car to the dealership, and we used the extended warranty, and we saved, several hundred dollars, actually. I think, $1,000.
I think so, yeah. It didn't quite pay for the warranty.
It didn't quite pay for the warranty, but it was a big benefit when we used it.
Yeah, yeah, and it was, because the repair was not cheap. And so
basically, that replaced the valves. They did.
So with Granger, we're not only advertising for them, which we are.
We're also customers.
But we're also customers, and we're also friends. You know those guys. You've been to Iowa to their dealership.
Yeah,
they're great people.
The reason why it's called Granger is because Granger, Iowa
is
a city, and it's a dealership, and they also provide these extended warranties.
You know, over 15 years now, we've built up a really good network of people that we like to work with.
Yeah.
And so, one of the things that we do here is when we have an advertiser, like we just got Modern Spare.
Yes.
You'll note those videos in a second. You know, they're people we would like to work with.
We meet them.
We meet them.
Yeah.
Or it's not just like, hey, here's some money.
Here's a company from China that you must buy.
No. We try to actually build a relationship with these people. And so Granger is one of the best ones that we have, along with, of course, Onyx. I don't want to go through the whole list, but we've got
Don't forget Waysafe Hitches.
No, I won't forget Waysafe. Another great Utah company, Andre. Yes. All right, let's skip to the second to last, which is the Land Rover Disco 5.
Disco 5. This was an interesting one because you kind of surprised me with this.
This was I always want to have a Land Rover, and Tommy has one, of course, but I always want to have a Jeep, which we have. It's a World War II Jeep.
We usually want to have another off-roader.
Yeah, and we usually want to have
a Land Rover.
A Land Rover, because so we bought this. This was the hero color. This was the color of the car, not Tommy's. This color.
This copper color.
Yeah, when the car came out, I went on the launch, and what happened was that we did some pretty hard off-roading with this vehicle.
Yeah, on the launch.
In Arizona.
Yes.
And so they've become very affordable. So this was like a $76,000 car that now is, I think I bought it for $20,000.
Yeah.
It was like 80,000 miles.
It was like shocking how much the price went down.
Yeah, and then it also had the diesel, which I wanted. So it's got the diesel, which is the same diesel that's in the Ford, or used to be in the Ford F-150.
3 liter, exactly.
And so it had everything that I wanted. I love the color. Bought it from the local Land Rover dealership. And then immediately took it to Moab and tried to take it up the wall and was really disappointed.
What's wrong? What happened?
Cole, see if you can find that video, would you?
Disco 5 and Moab?
Yeah, so two problems. First, it has air suspension. I think first dirt. Yeah, there you go. It has air suspension, and when you put it on his sippy toes, I forgot just how rough the ride gets. So you
because
lose
you're
all
out of squishiness of the suspension.
Yeah, it's kind of the exact opposite of
out of travel.
What happens with the Lexus LX, which still has a lot of travel even when you raise it to its highest.
This is not it.
This is it. This is it going up the wall.
No, I know. But there's Blaze in the back seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blaze is enjoying it.
Yeah, we
have
Blaze with us. And we couldn't do the wall because what would happen is, and this is the same thing that happened with the Subaru that we got in trouble for, because, you know, we got blacklisted for it. Land Rover didn't do anything to us, so thank you, appreciate it. But basically, you floor it, and the car decides that it
has cut power.
It has no traction, so Tommy's floored right now. And you see anything turning?
I see determination. By the way, he has a haircut.
Yeah, he looks good.
Do you
good
see
there.
This?
Yeah.
Okay.
Blaze has Erica too. But what it does is it just pulls power. It protects itself.
Come on. Give us the juice.
It won't.
Give us the juice.
So we swapped on the off-road tires, and there it goes. He's fully floored.
Oh, come on. Come on. Do
nothing,
it.
Nothing. Ooh. It just won't go. It just. Ooh. This is so frustrating. And so maybe it's trying to keep an axle from snapping. I don't know. Whatever programming is in there, it just pulls power. And you don't go anywhere. And that's the most frustrating thing an off-roader can do.
So I drove it with Case, also on the Denver 100 MPG loop.
Yeah.
And it was excellent on fuel efficiency, too. I want to say, I don't remember the exact number, but I want to say we did like 28.
It's incredible.
28 MPG in this big SUV.
That diesel.
Oh, here, Cole will show us.
That diesel.
28.6.
Yeah, that diesel has incredible torque.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something about Land Rovers and diesels and Range Rovers and diesels. You Brits know that. They just work.
It's like peanut butter and jelly.
And so
it's like bangers and mash.
So as a car, I love it. As an off-roader, it's a little bit disappointing. And I wanted to sell it, but then Jen, who now has had little Maddie, wants to buy it from the company. And we have this rule at the company: if you want to buy a car, I'll sell it to you for whatever you bought it for. And so hopefully she'll end up with this vehicle as her family truckster, which is a great, great
family truckster.
Yeah. Tons of room, very safe, beautiful interior. Car is completely sorted. Once again, you know, we spent the money to get it right. And I hope that she ends up buying it. Hope, Jen, if you're watching this, I hope you end up buying it because it's a good car and I think it'll do you well. Now, people might be worried about reliability, but that engine has been around a long time.
Yeah, and they sold actually quite a few of those engines, including in the Ford, because the Ford F-150 we've tested has the very similar engine. Now,
last car.
Oh, God. No, we have to pick our favorite.
Oh, we'll do that after this last car.
Fiat 2000.
Yeah,
Spider.
Go to classics today. So we bought
Fiat Spider 2000.
Well, it's a 124 Spider 2000 because the 2000 means that in 79 they upped the engine from, I think it was a 1.5 or 1.6 liter to a 2 liter four cylinder with, here it is. Here, look at this open that Ian edited. How good is that, huh? He did it such a really
cinematic.
Good job. Yeah, he did a cinematic job. So it's kind of showing you me putting the key in there. If you're listening to this, I'm trying to tell
you.
And then the money shot is coming up. There's the exhaust starting up. And this is the money shot because this is where the car looks just like a Ferrari, which was actually kind of sort of based on. So this was also I can never say it.
Pininfarina.
Look how that looks. Cool that looks.
It looks very cool.
So it's like it basically looks like a miniature Ferrari 365 GTS.
So normally, when you first told me you bought a Fiat convertible, first of all, I got scared.
Yeah.
Because Fiats are not known for their reliability.
Fix it again, Tony.
And also, I was scared because they're tiny, small. But then you let me drive it.
Yes.
And it drives great.
Oh, it's such a pleasure
to drive.
I was
so surprised.
Yes.
And you know what else this car looks like to me? This Fiat Roadster or convertible. It looks like a British car to me. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Well, I mean,
like a Triumph.
This was one of the ones that like the Mazda Miata was based on. So it was this, and of course all the British, the TRs, and all the British Triumphs and MGs, and there's so many British cars.
It looks a little bit British to me.
To me it looks exactly like a baby Ferrari. If you fast forward, can you look up? Okay, Cole, can you just do a quick search for Ferrari 365 GTS, please? And I'll show you what I mean. So this is I believe it was the same designer who did both cars, because back then Fiat, of course, owned Ferrari. Mm-hmm. And so do an image search. GTS. There you go. Show him that blue car.
Oh, 1969. I see what you mean.
Do you see the resemblance?
Sure.
Same designer. You can kind of see the resemblance there between the Fiat and that car.
Uh-huh.
Very similar.
Yeah.
And so that's why I love...
But this is like a poor man's Ferrari.
Oh, hell yeah. This was $4,000. $3,800.
Yeah.
And so I did a video today. Go check it out. It's TFL Classics or All TFL, where I said... And I stand by this, that this is the favorite. This is my favorite car that we bought this year. And it's for three reasons.
Yes.
You want to? I'll
please.
You
no, please let me know.
Number one, I just love the way it drives. It's completely the opposite of a software-defined.
It's once again hardware-defined car.
Yeah. It's completely and utterly just engaging and very basic. So it's the you, the car, the road, the wind, the shifter and the little engine, and that's it. It's just so much fun to drive. That's number one.
There's you driving.
Yeah. Number two, it's because it's so depreciated, I don't worry about it. It's not precious. So some cars like the Corvette you buy and it's got, you know, ceramic coating and you worry where you park it.
Like I worry about the Viper.
Yeah. Yeah. This thing you can park, you know, and then somebody
at Costco
in a bra truck can come and open their door into it, and I won't care because you're not going to do any more damage to it. So that's number two. And then number three, I love, like I said, convertibles. I actually fit in this convertible. I'm not looking through, even though it looks like I am, I'm not looking through the top of the A-pillar. And I fit in it. It's comfortable. I could drive this thing as a daily, and I wouldn't need Apple CarPlay or any of the ADAS stuff, and I would be happy, happy, happy. So that's why I love it.
So you, I was very suspicious about this car. You and Tommy brought it back to the studio, and you said, Andre, you have to drive it. And I was like, I'm not sure. And then you're like, Andre, you have to drive it. And I said, okay. I drove it, 5 or 10 miles, not very long. And the shifter just falls at hand, very easy to shift. The steering, I don't think it has power steering, right? The steering feels really, really good. Maybe not the tightest steering, but you can actually feel the road when you drive this car. And the engine is not very powerful.
No, I mean, 86 horsepower, like 86, when it was new, yeah.
But I didn't care.
You don't care.
I was enjoying the drive just when I drove it, just the way it came. I mean, I was worried about oil leaking or, you know, anything, but it was a really good driver.
So that was my favorite. And I'll give you my least favorite, and then you give yours, okay?
Yes.
My least favorite was a car I sold this weekend, which was the Eldorado ETC.
Okay.
And it's gone. So I'll tell you why, because I didn't fit in it.
Okay. I have two favorites. One favorite if it has to be practical, and another favorite if it doesn't.
Okay.
The practical favorite I have is the Bronco. If I wanted a vehicle where I could put a family into and drive it every day or take it on a fun trip, has to be a Bronco.
Hey, we got some more comments. Can you read them? I don't have my glasses on.
Tad says...
thank you, Tad. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us. He also says sports cars are not made for tall guys. Yes. Hope the crank doesn't break on Jen's disco.
The crank. I wonder what crank.
Crank.
I don't know what cranky means.
Oh, you mean like in the engine? And then they're known for cranks breaking, unfortunately.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, dude. Sorry. They're known for a lot of things, but crank? Maybe you're right. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Well, she may need to do like the timing belt or chain.
That's coming up, yeah. But
yeah.
Crank? Huh. Okay. I trust you.
Anyways, and if it doesn't have to be that practical,
mm-hmm.
Viper.
You got to pick one, dude.
Viper.
Okay, Viper.
Viper.
All right, Viper it is.
Don't tell my wife.
I won't tell your wife. She's not listening to this.
She doesn't listen to this, right. No.
Well, when it comes time to come to sell it, you know, come hit me up. You may have to park it at the ranch.
I may have to hide it at David's or at the ranch or something.
Honey, I'm going to the grocery store again. I'll be back in 2 hours. But the grocery store is around the corner. Oh, I bargain hard like you wouldn't believe. All right. And the least favorite? There's a list. I think we bought some more, too, that we may have forgotten. It's getting out of control.
But a lot of these cars are like $2,000.
Yeah, exactly. You know, most of them are very expensive.
They're very affordable cars, yeah. Most of them. I mean,
Andre, I would wager that somebody like Hoovy or Doug with his Lamborghini Countach and his Ford GT.
And Carrera GT.
GT, right? He's got a GT.
Carrera
GT and Lamborghini spends more on tax in California than we have spent combined on all these cars.
Yeah. I don't know.
At least that's what I tell myself when I feel I'm buying too many cars.
Yeah, the Cadillacs I don't care much for.
Okay.
Yeah. Also the Elante.
Okay.
I mean, it did grow on me a little bit, but I just...
All right, so Elante it is?
Yeah, Elante.
All right, Andre, it's Andre's least favorite.
Okay.
Good thing we're selling it. So if you want Andre's least favorite car... It's just a comfy cruiser.
Yeah.
If you want something that's just fun and, you know, and you want to cruise around it and throw your dog into it and not worry about getting dirty, that's a good car for that. Well, guys, we have gone a long time, Andre.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for sticking with us. Tad, thank you very much. Did he talk about the crank?
Not yet.
No.
He probably fell asleep.
We really
apologize.
Yeah, we apologize. As always, head on over to altfl.com if you want to see the latest and greatest.
Remember, Friday morning around 10 o'clock Mountain Time, maybe 10:15 a.m. Mountain Time, we have a special 300th episode of TFL Talking Trucks podcast with a special guest, or actually maybe two special guests.
And we're starting to travel a lot, too. It's going to get really busy.
Yes.
You just came back from Detroit.
I did. Tommy and Case are in Detroit.
Can you talk about what
you did? No, I cannot. It's a secret.
Oh, sorry. Is it embargoed?
Yes.
All right. So we can't talk about it. I hate doing that. I thought we could even talk about it, but we can't even talk about it. So I apologize because I hate that when people like promote stuff and then we can't tell you. So I didn't know.
No, but I really can't. But
that's fair.
That's
on me. And then I am going, and Tommy are going to go drive the new RAV4 next week.
And you can talk about it.
I can talk
about
it. Well, I can't talk about
it. Well, you haven't driven it yet.
But I can talk about the fact that we're going to go drive it. So we'll be driving the new RAV4, which is exciting because that's the best-selling car in America.
Yes. Then I'm doing a Mercedes event after that.
Where are you going?
Germany.
Oh, that's right. You're going to go do the van, right?
Yes. But then I also we're doing something with Ram trucks.
Yes.
That I can't quite talk about yet. And then there is SEMA.
Yeah,
and
then the auto show.
Yes.
Yeah, so SEMA, the whole team's going to SEMA. That'll be exciting. And then I am going to Japan. By the way, if you're in Japan, you're listening to this, we have TFL Japan now. In Japanese. We have a wonderful team of people who are putting our videos up in Japan. So thank you guys.
And this is not stolen videos.
Well, these are our videos. And some are doing really well, so maybe we're going to be big in Japan, Andre. Who knows? But I'm going back to Japan for the Tokyo Motor Show with Tommy. So we're going to have a lot. If you're a big JDM fan, we're going to have a lot more JDM content because I got a feeling that there's a lot of cool Japanese stuff that's coming. I'm hoping that they do another GTR.
I think we also need to get big in China. Right?
Yeah.
We need to expand.
By the way, that's a car. If you have a GTR that has been I hate that word, but I'm not going to say it. That's not modified, but stock.
Yes.
Let me know. No, I can't. We're out
of money. Please, a stock GTR.
Yeah, but we spent too much money. We don't have any more. We got to sell some of this. We got to get rid of something. Yeah, we got to.
C3 Corvette is gone.
That's gone.
I mean, not gone, but selling.
Selling, that's gone.
Tesla needs to go.
But like even an early GTR is going to be like 60,000.
We got to sell some more
stuff. So that's 20 plus the Tesla's another 15. So that's
35.
Five. That doesn't get us there, dude. Yeah.
Oh, Elante is gone and needs to go.
Well, that's going to be 4, so 40. We're still not there.
C4. No, you want to work on this one still,
yeah,
right?
C4 is not C4. Going. Viper, you want. Bronco, we need. Yeah. ID Buzz is gone.
I don't know if I can afford the Viper.
Yeah. Well, I'm not selling that. That's too cool. And if we do sell it and you can't afford it, then you won't have access to it, so you should be happy.
Yes. I am happy.
So even if we sell like 5 of these cars, we still can't afford a GTR.
Ugh.
This is the problem. This is why, like, you know, Hoovy and Doug make the big bucks and we go to the donated car auction.
Which is actually fun.
Which is more fun, I think. Yeah. You don't have to spend a lot of money to have a lot of fun. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Ciao.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.